Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to have an interesting afternoon, I think. If you can recall, when the year 2000 was going to be clicking into place, there was the fear of Armageddon. I mean, this has happened at the beginning of every century. And people were going off on all kinds of tangents. Well, apparently, and if I sound a little sarcastic here, I probably have a reason being that way. But anyway, we've got people that are just getting hot to trot about the negative stuff regarding a particular year. The year is 2013. My guest today is going to be talking about that because she comes in from many different perspectives on that. And we have with us today Marie Jones and her very, very unique book, 2013, Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. Hi, Marie.
Hi, nice to be back on the show with you.
Well, it's fun. When I first got your book, I thought, oh, Lord love a duck. Are we going to end up having, you know, what's this stuff here? And people get on this bandwagon, and so many in the media will hype all of the negatives. Oh, what are we going to do? Of course, you know, they want ratings, and that's what the whole thing
is all
about.
Yes.
But why in the world did you decide you were going to even give energy to this?
You know, there are a lot of books on the whole 2012 mythology or enigma, whatever you'd like to call it, that are out there. And I read many of them, and I thought many of them were fantastic. But I didn't see one that really brought together all of the different predictions, prophecies, possibilities, the different mythologies and stories that are out there surrounding this year. And so I thought, you know, I wanted to sort of pretend I was a reporter and take a really objective look, bring everything together in one book, and let people read it and sort of, you know, take what they like and run with it and discard the rest and do their own research on any of the theories that sound intriguing to them. And I really wanted to be sort of a one-stop shopping for 2012.
Okay, folks, there you've got it. The one-stop shopping center.
One-stop
with
shopping.
2013. Okay.
There's so much stuff out there.
Well, I think your angle is a good one. I really do. But I really have a challenge when it comes to people that always look for the worst.
Absolutely.
Let's go in to a little bit of history here.
Right.
Everything I have heard that's really been of significance statement, if you want to use that kind of a description,
right,
has been related to the Mayan calendar. And let's face
exactly
it, the Mayans,
exactly,
most of their stuff was destroyed. We're lucky
it
we
was
even have, you know, have a few segments. They could have
we've
gone
got
until
some scraps.
Yeah, that's all we've got.
We have scraps.
Tell us why or how they discovered this particular year and why they try to make it such a big deal.
Well, you know, the people that are making it a big deal are the people that came later. The original story behind 2012, if you want to put it that way, is the one of the many Mayan calendars, a Mesoamerican calendar called the Long Count. It's a 260-day calendar. And it's one of, like I said, several calendars. They also used a 365-day calendar called the Hob. But this particular calendar, the Long Count, it was made up of cycles that were a little over 5,000 years long, and there were five cycles, and they made up what is called a grand year of over 26,000 years. And that matches the time it takes from one zodiac sign to proceed to another. We call it the precession of the equinox.
Mm-hmm.
But another interesting thing about this particular calendar is that it ended on a particular date, and that date was the winter solstice of December 2012, and some people say it's the 21st, some scholars say it's the 23rd. We're going to go with the 21st here. Now, that particular date also matches up with a predicted astronomical event known as the galactic alignment. And again, how the Mayans, all these thousands of years ago, could have known something was going to happen out in the skies without the Hubble telescope shows that they were an advanced civilization when it came to things like astronomy and cosmology.
Oh, so this galactic, very much so.
But at the same time, they had human sacrifice.
Well, that was later. That's when they started getting dumber. I mean,
they've been around for a long, long time. Right, and the thing is that we have, like you said, we have bits and pieces of codices, and we have their creation story, and we have some of the calendars that have been discovered, but they're glyphs, they're pictures. And so what's happened is that we have made interpretations of that calendar. And none of those have involved the concept of Armageddon. Those concepts, the end of the world, apocalypse, Armageddon, those are Western religious concepts that were added on later, just like with Y2K. They came from the Western traditions. They have their own end of the world story that now is being latched on to the whole Mayan 2012 thing. It's becoming very confusing, very muddied, and, you know, there's just so much stuff that's being piled up on this one particular origin, which is simply one of many calendars that were in use in the Mesoamerican culture at that time.
Let's talk about something that you bring up right in the very beginning part of your book, and that is relative to time.
Right.
And this is something that I thought many people could relate to, because you have appropriately stated that people feel like everything is speeding up.
Absolutely.
And it used to be that you'd say when you were talking to an older person, well, you just don't understand, because when you were young, you would just say, oh, everything's just dragging. It's so boring. Am I ever going to grow up? But
No,
it's not that way. We have young people that I hear of all ages that say, oh, it's just too fast. How can this year go by so quickly? That you used to hear from the elderly. You're hearing it from the young.
I know.
So you say in your book, according to the Mayan calendar, things are speeding up. And there is this propulsion that I think is being felt by many that is a little bit confusing, because it's out of the paradigms that they were raised with.
Let's address
that a little bit.
There is actually a few theories that we talk about today that back up the fact that the Mayan cycles did seem to exponentially increase in intensity, I guess you could say, as time went on. Each cycle, each progress of evolution, whether it's physical or conscious evolution, seemed to be happening quicker and quicker in shorter spans of time. We have things like novelty theory, time wave theory, singularity. These are theories that state that there is a exponential rate increase of information, and we perceive that to be a rate increase of time. The more information that we have technologically, I mean, we're talking, you know, computers and cell phones and iPods and blah, 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 the faster those things increase and the faster rate that they increase at, we begin to perceive life as speeding up. It is a perception. We still do only have 24 hours in a day, just like we did 100 years ago. But what's happening now is that our brains are being bombarded with tons more information, which makes us perceive time as getting faster and faster, and we're having less and less of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of our brains at work here, but it's also the fact that things outside of us, information technology is doubling at a faster and faster rate. And it's getting to the point where it may overwhelm us. We may reach a point where it literally takes over our humanity and surpasses our own intelligence. And all of this feels like a quickening, like a thrust forward. And each time you're thrust forward, you're thrust faster and faster. And those are some very real things that scientists are talking about. And then at the same time, you've got the concept behind the Mayan calendar that each cycle, each universal, they call them underworlds, that we're entering gets shorter, but much more occurs in that shorter duration. So it feels like everything is quickening, quickening, quickening.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about it, if you just look at the past 1,000 years, for example, technology has moved so rapidly just since the 1960s.
It's
just
amazing.
Go from the 60s. When you look at the 60s and you come to where we are today, now young people may say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. But when
right.
you do, when you look at the transistor, that little tiny development, and the spur that it initiated of activity that has evolved to where we are today.
Exactly.
When you look at how a nation like China, who a very short time ago was under a horrific dictatorship, and people were lucky if they could even get any food, the same in Russia.
Right.
And you
exactly.
look at them today, and they're on their computers. We have the Beijing Olympics.
Yeah.
Look at what they were able to accomplish. Now, yes, their economy has become much bigger and much better, but the fact is that there are these minds, and they're not just in China. They're in India. They're in Australia. They're in
right.
Africa. They're in the United States. There is this awareness that there is a forced, conscious presence of mind that is being put upon people, where before it might be 3 or 4 months, you know, that was fast then.
Right.
Or maybe it might have been, you know, think of the Middle Ages. It was years before.
Now we expect it to happen in a day or less, you know.
Right.
We want our information
now.
Now.
Yes. And
absolutely.
I just love the quote that you have in here with Charles Schultz. Don't worry about the world coming to an end today. It's already tomorrow in Australia. I love
that.
I just think that's
just so
that
clever,
is precious.
You know?
That is just
it is,
precious.
Yeah.
But Marie, there's also a very, very strong development regarding people's spirituality. I'll use that term. I don't want to say religion.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about
right.
spirituality.
Right, exactly.
We're seeing many different institutions of perceived absolutes that are no longer being accepted.
And it's about time.
Yes. Well, the thing is, though, it's a shift in thinking.
Right. Right.
It's and like Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut I interviewed. He said, you can't go into outer space and come back to Earth and have the same thoughts you did before you left.
No, your entire perception changes, exactly. And I think
right.
that we are being pushed to a point of either you change your perception, you change your consciousness, or you continue to do what you have been doing, and that will not be a good thing. I mean, that will be your downfall, literally.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and
you
people
bring...
do feel like they're being, you know, I have so many people that don't really know about the 2012 stories saying, I feel like something's coming, and I feel
mm-hmm.
like I'm being prepared. I feel like I'm being cleansed. I feel like I'm being tested. And I tell them, you are. I mean, I can't quite explain it to you. I can't tell you the truth because we're not going to know until it happens. But there is that concept that we are getting ready for some kind of personal and collective transformation.
You have a wonderful section called Other Ways of Consciousness in your book, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Lynn McTaggart. And she's in England,
right.
and she is conducting the largest mind-over-matter experiment in history. Tell us what she's doing.
I know she had one that just ended recently, and she's doing another one, and I believe this is the one. Actually, this may be the new one. She's using collective intention to try to create certain situations. And she wrote a book called The Field, which was all about the zero-point field. And it was really fundamental to my, you know, conceiving some of the ideas for my books.
Mm-hmm.
But she is now really focusing on the idea that if we can collectively intend something, we might be able to, grow something in sterile water. We might be able to change the course of an event. We might be able to do any number of things. So she has what's called the intention experiments. There's going to be a number of them, and I would advise people if they want to keep up on the most current, because I'm not quite sure which one she's doing now, to Google Lynn McTaggart, or just the intention experiments.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually one going on, too, through Joshua Warren. He is a paranormal investigator, and he's got what's called the Genesis experiment, where he is trying to have people intend to change something in a vial of sterile water, to grow something, to make it change, to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of really neat experiments going on involving intention. And I think in regards to 2012, if you have enough people collectively intending something to happen, positive or negative, you know, at what point do we get enough power behind that intention to actually make it happen?
Well, it's amazing. Sometimes all you need is just a little tiny ripple, and then
right,
it builds
right.
its own momentum. And as you said, it can be good, bad, or indifferent. It
right.
doesn't make any difference.
Because
the universe doesn't care.
No, the universe is neutral. But if your intention is, if, you know, 90% of the people are expecting Armageddon, that's what frightens me.
it doesn't frighten me in the least. I figure we can get a few of us cuties out there doing a Sundance and saying,
yes,
sorry,
exactly.
we don't accept this, and they can have their Armageddon if they want.
You know,
I agree
with that.
I mean, really, I just think I'll have my cup of Earl Grey tea, and I'll make sure I have a good supply of chocolate, and we're done. I mean, that's
exactly.
going to be it. That's going to be wonderful.
And, you know, there's a wonderful book called Power Versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins, and he writes about how positive intention does appear to have more power than a negative intention. And just as we were saying, that you can have a very small group of people with a positive intention, and they can override the emotional output, you might say, of people who are fear-based, of a larger group of people
mm-hmm.
who are fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that. I think we see that a lot.
I think Gandhi is a very good
disasters.
Gandhi is a very good example of that.
Oh, absolutely.
And what it is not resisting. When I say that, it doesn't mean you don't take a positioning.
Right.
But you
exactly.
understand, you use the energy that's being put against as something that you can push out and that
right.
you can utilize and go make it go through its transformation. You made a comment in your book that I went, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad to see someone making this one. And it's saying, you got into a section here on rising global temperatures because there
yes.
are changes. The Earth is a living, breathing
yes.
source.
Oh,
and
yes.
Yeah, and it's just absolutely amazing to me that people walk around thinking that this is some little inanimate object. It isn't. It's alive,
well,
it's breathing, it has its own life force. And we're just like little itsy-bitsy dots on its whole surface. But you pointed out an article that was written in February 26, 2006 in the Indiana Daily, and there was a technological team that had come up with this information that global warming may not also be due to an exponential rise, or it might also be due to an exponential rise in underwater volcanoes. And why people have not been wanting to, of course, that's not going to give us what we want. I mean, politically,
right.
that's not correct. But the truth is, we human beings are pretty puny. And if you really want to have something change instantaneously, which they know for a fact has occurred on this planet before, and that is there could be a polar shift just instantaneously. It can happen very, very fast. All it takes is a certain planetary pull. It could be the moon. It could be anything that comes in and makes a shift over which we have no control, and voila, we
right.
could have
and
the tropics again
yeah.
where we've got freezing temperatures right now.
That's very true. There's a lot of things that could do that, and another one would be a methane explosion, and that's something, I don't even know if I touched on that. I might have briefly, but, you know, it's another unknown that most people don't realize, that in the ocean we've got methane burps that are occurring, and if one of them is big enough, it can do an awful lot of damage.
Sure, Mother Nature
and, you know,
is people, nothing.
Yeah.
yeah.
This is a planet that is still not done forming. It's still moving.
Well, thank
and
heaven, because we'd have
shifting.
To be in a spaceship going somewhere else.
Absolutely. I mean, we have large plates of land that are still bumping up against each other and jockeying for position. And you know, you're talking about Planet X or Nibiru, which a lot of people feel may in 2012 be coming close enough to Earth to cause all kinds of geomagnetic problems and possibly even tidal problems and pole shifts, things like that. So there's so many different things that could happen. And, you know, you could live in fear, in absolute terror for the next 4 years looking at all these predictions.
And think about how much you'd miss.
Yeah, you would. You'd miss your life, and it would turn out it might be just like Y2K, where nothing happens, where what was going to happen was supposed to happen within you, And out of your fear, you didn't let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, to me, if nothing else, if perhaps the other side of the coin is in thinking about these things, if we can be mindfully present, and
right.
if someone has an invention, an idea, where they want to put it to place, get busy. Get to
exactly.
making a difference, because it is necessary. Human beings have these patternings, and we're all guilty of it. I am, you are, everybody is.
Right.
And that is having our particular paradigms. And we say, well, you change yours, but don't change mine. Thank you very much.
Right. We buy into those hook, line,
oh,
and sinker.
Yeah.
We do not let them go.
And it's really a challenge. You bring up all kinds of facts, you know, animal extinction and various things. And the reality is that when Mother Nature has had her what I call her PMS moments,
oh,
or maybe
exactly.
acute indigestion, where she burps up a lot of stuff you don't want her to burp,
right.
then you find that many things become extinct because the whole environment has changed.
Yeah, and
that's not to say... Yeah, go ahead.
About paradigms, if people don't want to change them, they may be changed for you.
Yes.
By nature, by an outside incident, by a natural disaster. I think I would rather change myself first than have it be forced. And I think that's what's happening. Paradigms are being changed and shifted right before our eyes, but we still have, like you were talking about, that resistance. Where you don't want to give in, you just hang on to the status quo, even though the status quo could be killing you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very yeah. true. And that's on so many different levels.
Yeah.
It is amazing how in some ways, some things, as the old adage goes, change very quickly, but
right.
a lot of things just
stay
the same.
You're right. You're right.
And you never know it all, and it is a phenomena that is, to me, intriguing. You bring up something else. Now, your book, I want to point this out to the listeners. We go through the Armageddon. You go into a medical arena, which I'm going to touch on in just a moment. But you go into so many things. One of the things you bring up is the fountain of youth. And, oh,
yeah.
goodness gracious, who hasn't heard of that in school? And I don't even know if they still teach that. But there was supposed to be one in Florida, and some people think it is there, but they haven't found it yet.
Exactly.
And there's been all kinds of things, but the reality of people living to be about 150 or maybe even 200 years old is not so far-fetched anymore because of what we've
not.
Learned.
No,
but boy, does that bring in a whole different kettle of fish, doesn't it?
It does. It does because, you know, we may be living longer, but are we going to be living well? You know, is the quality of life going to keep up with the quantity? You always have to
well, not only that,
now.
But what are we going to do? If you're 100 years old and that's middle age, you go, okay, now I've had 4, 7, 10 different careers. What am I going to do
exactly.
now?
Exactly. I think people think, you know, here's what I've always thought. I don't think people necessarily want to live longer. I think they want to know that when they get to the end of their lives, they had the best life they could. Because a lot of older people that I know that have passed or are close to passing, the ones that are unhappy and afraid to die are the ones that have so many regrets. They never did what they wanted. They never followed their heart. But the ones that did, they don't want to live another 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really about quality. Now, certainly a lot of the longevity research is also geared towards making us live, you know, into our 80s and 90s healthier and with sharper minds. But I don't know. Once you're past 100, I say, you know, I may want to go up to that next level. I might be done here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you might want a new chassis. Let's get real here.
Exactly,
I mean,
exactly.
You might want a different style, different, you know,
yeah.
different color. Who knows? But the truth is that there's always going to be what I call the end point, the end zone, if you will.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing. That's a part of life. And that is something that always has been and will be on one level or another. But you go into this, you did some interesting research on calorie restriction,
yes.
which I thought was quite interesting because that increased longevity.
It did, and another thing, and funny, because I just came back from the doctor not too long ago, a few days ago, and inflammation is a very big factor in heart disease, cancer, diabetes, you name it. Inflammation is like the catchword. And so you've got calorie restriction on one hand, which is being looked at as a way to increase the quantity of years that you live. They're not so sure about the quality because the restrictive level is really low. But it does elongate your life. And on the other hand, they're telling us, though, that the one thing we really need to watch out for the most is inflammation. And if we can somehow tackle that with better food, better supplements, exercising, we don't need to cut calories drastically. We will be able to live longer and have a better life. So there's a lot of really amazing, great research going on.
Including?
That hopefully, you know, stress, again, along with inflammation. If we don't do something about the stress level, we have rising rates of depression, anxiety, mental and emotional disorders. And a lot of that is related to stress.
Very much so.
And other things like, you know, we're continuing to figure out what our genes do and how they can help us live better lives. We've got bionics, which, you know, some people say they're afraid of, but if you are missing a limb or you need an artificial limb or even an artificial kidney or a lung, the field of bionics is getting to the point where they can give you a new organ that is almost just as good as the real thing because it combines the best of our living biological systems with computer technology. So there's some good stuff too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff and a lot of very dedicated people that want to make a difference. Also, being able to grow organs out of your own tissues.
Right, right.
And
these are things that can make the quality of our lives better.
Absolutely, and enabling people to still maintain their productiveness and to be involved in life in a special way. Your book covers so many different areas. You go into eco-villages, you talk about the power of women, and it's, you know, just 50.
That's going to be a big one.
Yes, it is, because it's only been in the last 50 years or so here in the United States that women have been able to take, you might say, positionings that otherwise were totally denied to them.
Well,
so,
I think if we don't balance that power soon, we will see an end time. I mean, we will see some real issues, and we need a little bit more of a balance between the feminine and the masculine, especially in the Western countries.
Yes, and I think that that's what we're seeing a lot of today.
I think much
of what you're seeing is a thought patterning on the part of people when you study history that goes back for so many generations, and to break that kind of paradigm, usually it takes something pretty dramatic.
It does, unfortunately, but you're right. People have to be shaken awake.
Absolutely.
And whether that's, you know, 2012 may be the great paradigm shaker, you know, and that could be what the Mayans intuited, that this is going to be a time when the world would end as we know it and not end completely, which is the Armageddon concept. So
yes, and if we're really realistic about it, the world ends, period, for a lot of people every day of this life.
Absolutely, and you go on to, depending on what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
So yes,
right.
It's no different from a personal death, which is a transformation.
Mm-hmm. And whether it's divorce, whether it's physical death, whether it is something else that's a big shift and change for you,
something has
died. Something is in the process of being eliminated out of your space. And it is a painful experience because
we resist it.
Absolutely.
We do that
because of fear. Mm-hmm. We don't have confidence in ourselves. And I like what you said earlier. If we were to get together and people of like mind, of right attitude, say, all right, we have all of these people out here that are afraid. What can we do in our own way to counterbalance that?
How can we
be prepared?
Right.
What can we do? And that's where so many wonderful people are coming up with good ideas, good things. Marie Jones, you have a website. Tell us what that website is so people can find out more about 2013.
It's easy. It's www.mariedjones.com. You got to get the D in there or you'll get some. I believe it's a Scottish theater actress named Marie Jones.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've had so many people confuse me with her.
Hey, that's
so
fun.
Marie D. Jones, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, Marie, it's been a delight having you on your show. Your book has so much good information in it. It's so eclectic. You've got
Thank
a
you
lot
so much.
In there.
I've got
so
a
Yes. Well, whoever gets it will find it as interesting reading and thought-provoking on more than one level. But you also present so much good opinion that I think it's a good read. It's a very good
yeah.
read. Marie
thank
Joined,
you very
thank
much.
You for being my guest. For those of you listening, 2013, Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. Only 4 years to go, folks. Well, get busy. You know, you got a house to clean, other things to do. So just get about your life, because it's going to get here in its own time. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hello, and this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. I invite you to call in if you'd like to do that. I know we have a caller waiting, but I want to give you the telephone number should you like to call in also. Telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756 and 530. 876-3222. Now, if you've just started listening to the show, I am an intuitive, and you are welcome to call in. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. So again, 877-876-5227. All I need is your first name or initial, and after that, then let me tell you what I perceive, and then you can ask a question about anything you like. 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller for the show, and show you how to do it. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my initial is Al, and I'm calling from Michigan.
Where in Michigan, dear?
Farmington.
Farmington, Michigan. I've not had the pleasure of being there, and maybe one day I will. All right, Al, let's look at this. First of all, get rid of all this clutter that I see. It's driving you nuts, and I know how that can feel. So what you want to do is to really have an idea of how you want to organize. Get that together first in your head. and then call a friend, call someone that can come over and buy them a fried chicken dinner or whatever and say, help me get this done. And I think you can have a lot of this stuff organized the way you want it organized, as long as you have your plan done in advance and you can get it done and get out of the way. Now, there is someone I'm seeing you consoling. I'm looking at someone going through a real deep emotional issue. I think it's a female. And as I'm watching her and I'm watching you, I'm seeing your heart just aching for this individual, and I can understand why. You've gone through a number of ups and downs yourself, and you have a very strong empathy for this person. But I want to say, don't get too sympathetic. You don't want to take on this person's emotions. You want to be there for them so you can support them, so that you can be of clear mind where your emotions aren't going to color things. Because they're going to be telling you their side of the story, whatever that story may be. And you must be a good listener, and you must ask questions, gentle questions that will extract information about what evolved to bring circumstances to the point that they will be, to be so upsetting to this individual. When you do the gentle questioning, don't give advice. Just ask the questions. And then toss back to the individual, what do you think has caused this? And eventually they will solve it themselves while they're sitting there with you. And every urge inside of you to try to tell them how to live their life must be suppressed. You want to encourage this individual to figure out how to solve their own problems. They're going to think you're just the saint of the world, which is wonderful. Letting them do the work is the positive side of this. And you do need to go in for a medical checkup. There's something that's bothering you. I want you to go in. I want you to have a thorough physical, have the blood work, have everything. I want you to lay your mind to rest. You're carrying some subconscious garbage around regarding health. And you don't need to have this problem or problems, however you're perceiving it. You don't need it. But you need to do the practical things to show you the strength of your own capabilities physically and your own wellness. So be alert, because you can create things in the body. Just because if you think about something a certain way, gee, this could happen to me, then it's like we sabotage ourselves, so we demonstrate and say, see, I told you this was going to happen. This does not have to be the case with you. Not at all. So be wise. Do you have a question for me, dear?
I'm hoping be able to make a residential move, and I wondered if you could tell me if you see that happening, and if so, when?
Well, I think it's going to depend on two things. One, it's going to depend on economics, and yes, you are going to make the move. Two, it's going to depend on where you want to be. Now, this is very big, because you need to make your choice based on what you want, not on what somebody else tells you you should have. And don't rush into it. I'm looking at a very, very nice environment. And it looks to me, I think I'd use the word condo instead of a house, but I'm looking at a very spacious environment, very bright and light in color tones. It's very, very attractive. And I feel like you could own this. This is something that would bring you a strong sense of satisfaction. But it suits the lifestyle that you want to lead, and its location is excellent. But it looks like you might have to wait for it anywhere from a year to 2 years. So wherever this is, you need to shop around, really look for that location and environment that you want. And another thing, and this is just very practical information, make sure you understand clearly what the rules are. In other words, if you're a person that enjoys having visitors, is there going to be parking available for those visitors? If not, don't take it, if that's a very important part of your life. If you find someplace that's absolutely gorgeous, but it's 50 miles from town, who cares? You want to be able to come and go and do what you want to do and be in a social environment. So check things out very clearly and do not go by other people's opinions. Really ask yourself what it is you want, because I'm hearing 1, 2, 3, 4 different people that are really trying to pressure you. And I want to say, don't go with anything that you don't want. You want to be sure that when you make your move, that it's really going to be into an environment that for you is perfect. And you need, again, to check out what might be the rules and regulations of certain locales. And once you do that, then I think you're going to make an excellent choice. But it could be up to a year to a 2 years, depending on what you want.
Thank you.
I hope that's helped.
It does. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I appreciate your phone call. You have a fabulous weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. By the way, I want to let you know about the guests we've got coming up next week. What a lineup. On Monday, we're going to be talking about haunted spaces, sacred places. These are locations that Brian Houghton has researched around the world that have been respected and appreciated by so many cultures through the centuries as well as today. Fascinating information. So we're going to be checking in with Brian. Also, we're going to be talking about Enron, the company. Malcolm Salter is going to be my guest. Innovation Corrupted. And I know we've got a caller, and I'll be getting to that caller in just a moment. Wind power, is that of interest to you? Well, Christopher Gills is going to go into a lot of detail regarding that. And then, if you want to learn how to read body language of people, you're going to want to hear Carol Goleman, The Nonverbal Advantage. Yes, lots of things we're going to be sharing with you next week. Donna Sebo here, telephone 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Hello, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Donna. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure, dear. Your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My first name is Shruti, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Shruti, oh, Chicago, one of the prettiest cities. I just love Chicago.
Yeah.
I think it is a great place.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Wonderful.
Shruti, when I'm looking at you, one, you're an extremely talented and intelligent woman. Your psychic ability is very astute. You don't take nonsense off of anyone. You read a person within 30 seconds. You have been always known for this. In fact, some of your friends say, hey, I'm going to bring my boyfriend over. You check him out. If you don't like him, he's out. I mean, that's how, I mean, you just really size people up quickly. But you've been going through, I think, a bit of a slump because you have, and I think it's more of a mental emotional slump. It's as if you're starving. You are not getting the intellectual nourishment, the spiritual nourishment, the emotional nourishment that you yearn for. You would like to be among peers that you could work with. I'd like to encourage you to, if you are not at this time considering it, to please consider enrolling in your local college, whether you take some classes, whatever your subject interest is, go for it. Nothing else to sit in and audit classes. You need to find out how you can link in with these different circles socially of people that you can talk with. Because what's going to happen, it's just like your whole world explodes. You're a woman that needs to make it okay that you love to learn. You love to learn, whether it's fixing a better souffle or painting a bathroom or figuring out the most economical way to go to the moon. You love to learn, and you like conversation. You like conversation. You hate yes people. You just don't like that at all. You want someone that's going to sit and say, you know what? I don't agree with you. You're going to say, fine, tell me why you don't agree with me. And it's wonderful because it stretches you. You're not afraid of the unknown, but you're very analytical. You are a woman that never, ever should put herself into a retirement phase, period. If you want to retire from something, that's great. But by golly, have two or three things going on because you are just too sharp to dull your mind and who you are as an individual. Don't do that. Don't buy into anybody else's thinking. I want you to be true to yourself. I really do. And get busy with your writing. A writing group is a wonderful way to get involved with people who are thinkers. I mean, really, depending on what the subject. Go for it. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me today?
Okay. You mentioned quite a few things, which are very, very accurate. I'm currently in career transition, so what do you see in that area?
What kind of a transition?
Career.
All right. What are you doing right now?
Currently, actually, I'm studying for an exam, so as well as I'm looking for a job.
All right. What kind of work are you looking for, hon?
Basically helping organization improve their quality and profitability, and I'm targeting hospitals.
All right. I'd like for you to look out into what I call the green business environment.
Okay.
Hospitals are fine. That's okay, but don't lock yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to just look at that. Chicago has so many things to offer. I would look at just talking with some people that work for the state of Washington. See how you, not Washington, oh my goodness, of Illinois, excuse me, I'm in Washington for heaven's sakes. I would say check with them to find out about those businesses nationally that are on the green level.
Okay.
And many of them are getting on the bandwagon.
Correct.
So you need to find out about them. And you need to be able to see where you could put yourself. It would be absolutely wonderful. In fact, I'm aware of a conference in San Francisco that's coming up next month. That might be right up your alley. But anyway, give me a call if you're at my office if you're interested.
Yes, I definitely would be.
Yeah, that's 800-872-8852. That's my office number, so you can call me there. But this is something, your timing is good on this. Your timing is very good on it. So
okay.
I would say find out from the state of Illinois, in the Chicago area, what businesses are in the green arena?
I know the mayor of Chicago, he's really pushing alternative energies and trying to get ready for the Olympics, trying to have all that set up, the green
contact his office. Contact his office. Go to the top.
Okay.
And say, I would like to talk to so-and-so, and I would try to find out where the meetings are held regarding this, and then find out about those businesses that are bidding for the positioning, and then walk up to the people of those companies and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, this is what I'm doing, I'd like to be a part of this.
Okay, that sounds like a very good suggestion. I had not considered that. So,
why not? What have you got to lose? What's the worst thing that could happen?
No, it's actually, I'm going to learn something more new.
Absolutely.
Which is what I enjoy doing. So, but do you foresee anything? Are you picking up anything coming up in the near future, or do you see it more clicking?
Shireti, I'm going to have to stop here, hon. I've gone past my break time. I've got to take a break. We'll come back. Stay on the line, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to be coming back with Shireti. Give me a buzz if you're interested in chatting today. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. We're going to come right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Again, 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. Shruti, you're still on the line?
Yes, I'm still here, Donna.
Oh, wonderful. Now, let me finish what I wasn't able to finish before. It is important for you to understand that you be present right where you are. The timing on things is not so important as is your mental alertness to what I call a do it now. In other words, if you went to a meeting in Chicago that comes up next week and they say, this is what we're going to be doing for the Olympics, and you introduce yourself to people, be prepared. Have a resume, have a business card, get their business card, and follow up.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
And the reason I say this to you is, you never have a second chance to make a first impression, and the do-it-now attitude is a good one.
Yeah.
They may not be ready for someone like you to come into their space. Meanwhile, you're going to school. Find out what you can. You're going to want to have an income. You're going to want to have an apprenticeship or an internship, that's the right word, with a company that is going to be a green company. That's what you look for right now, is a company that would like to have you as part of their team.
Okay.
But if you want to be involved in the Olympics in Chicago in 4 years, start working on it now.
Okay.
Don't wait.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate
You're welcome,
it.
Dear.
Yes,
you have a
Take
wonderful
care, bye.
Weekend. Bye-bye.
Same to you. Bye.
Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227-888-815-9756. Many times when someone will ask me a question, they're concerned about time, and I understand that perspective. But it has been my observation, having been in the work of mind for so many years, that time is relevant. What you may perceive as being a long distance off may not be that far off at all. So it's being consciously present right where you are, doing everything you can right where you are, holding the focus of the objective and putting the action out as well. You just never know who you're going to meet. You never know who you're going to talk to. And something that took me years to learn is that if you don't open your mouth and tell people what you want, they haven't a clue. They walk around thinking you're an absolute genius and you're walking around crying in your mental beer because you're saying, oh, life is just the pits. Nobody's helping me. You don't ask. You may say, I have pride. Well, fine, eat your pride. Realize that life demands participation. And, oh, my goodness, I think of all the anxious moments I used to spend, and my imagination would go off to a 10 gazillion different directions. And when I finally woke up, I realized nobody gave a hoot because they didn't know. There are a lot of good people in this world that like seeing people successful, and they want you to be successful. So you need to believe in yourself and ask. You don't need to be pushy or rude or arrogant. Just say, I have this concept. Do you have any ideas on it? Who would you recommend I talk to? They may say, I haven't any idea. I've had people do that to me. But if you don't ask, as the old saying is, you don't get. They're not going to be able to read your mind. It's like someone sitting in their living room wanting and affirming for a mate in their life, and they never go out through the front door. You just don't do that. It doesn't make sense. What you want to do is be a participant. Now, my last caller was very interested in being a part of making this world a better place. She wanted to be in an administrative position. Well, I want to share with you a couple of companies that I've just recently found out about that I think is really significant. It came through a publication that was just put on my desk this morning. And this is about the Living Building that's been opened in Lake Worth, Florida. Now, it was opened this month, and, oh, everybody's just oohing and aahing over this. Well, this is nothing new. There have been a number of people that have designed buildings. My husband has a very dear friend that had a design for a home. He was an award-winning architect, and it was just amazing. You know what? I just looked at the clock, and we're out of time. My goodness. Well, we'll just have to pick this up on Monday, won't we? Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. You have got so much to offer this world. Don't ever forget you've been placed in this experience of life to give your best. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. Be an adventurer. Life is waiting to see what you're going to bring it. Have a fabulous weekend. Talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.